The book of Acts, chapter 27, verse 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given them all them that sail with thee, or given thee all them that sail with thee. Therefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this night, God, for your word. We ask, God, you'd reach down and touch in this house this morning. In Jesus' name, we give you praise for that we receive. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand. Look him right now and say, hey, ain't that bad? Glory. My sermon this morning is going to be based on a book I read several years ago. I've got a copy of it in the office down in Buell. I bought it for my son, gave it to him, and then took it back from him. It became part of my library. It's a book by Judith Voice. It's called Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. It's about a young man named Alexander, and it starts this way. I woke up with gum in my hair. When I started down the steps, I tripped over a skateboard somebody left. While getting dressed, I dropped my favorite sweater in the water, and I began to realize I'm going to have a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. At breakfast, Nick found an Agent Decoder ring in his breakfast cereal box. And Anthony found a nice watch in his breakfast cereal box, but all I had in my breakfast cereal box was breakfast cereal. On the way to school, Nick got a window seat. Anthony got a window seat. Jen got a window seat. And I stuck in the middle and I said, I'm suffocating, but nobody cared. At school, the teacher liked Jan's picture of flowers better than my picture of the invisible castle. Think about that now. At singing, they said I sang too loud, and at counting, they said I left out 16. But who needs 16 anyway? For lunch, Nick had a little cake with coconut sprinkles on it for his dessert. Margie had a little Debbie cake. Guess whose mom forgot to put dessert in their lunchbox? On the playground, Paul made me his third best friend and not his first best friend. And I began to realize it's a continuation of a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. At the dentist office, out of all the kids, I was the only one with a cavity. The elevator door closed on my foot. Anthony pushed me into the mud. Nick called me a crybaby, and Mom caught me when I hit him back. At the shoe store, we all picked out our shoes, and my favorite was the blue ones with the white stripes. Nick got red ones with blue stripes. Anthony got his black shoes and said I was the only one that didn't have the size, and Mom bought me plain old white ones. But that don't mean I'm going to wear them. At Dad's office, everything got messed up. The copy of the books, the telephone, while I was trying to call Australia. Dad said I can't come back to his office no more. When I got home, there was lima beans for supper, and I hate lima beans. There was kissing on TV, and I hate kissing. My bath water was too hot, got soap in my eyes, lost my marble down the drain, and I had to wear my railroad pajamas, and I hate my railroad pajamas. At bedtime, the nightlight burned out. Nick took back the pillow he gave me for life. I bit my tongue. The cat won't sleep with me, and I finally decided if I'm going to have a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, I'll just move to Australia. But Mom assured me they have those kind of days in Australia too. Amen. I know some of you sitting there and say, Preacher, that's silly. No, it's not, because I just described to some of you the kind of days y'all been having lately. Amen. And you know what? The truth of the matter is, there's a lot of people that are having terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days. And some of you are having terrible, horrible, no good, very bad weeks. Some of you had some terrible, horrible, no good, very bad months. But I think it's time we realize there is a light on the horizon. And some of us need to have the faith of Job that said, I know that things are bad, but you know what? There is a God that can give a song in the night, and there is a God that can teach me to sing in the fire. And I want to tell you right now, you may be having a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, but I got a God that'll let you understand, if you'll hang on, my grace is sufficient, my power is sufficient to bring you out on the other side. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. You know, church, first of all, you got to realize everybody deals with frustration from time to time. Hello? Amen. You know, we got a lot of folks that are frustrated, irritated, agitated. I know somebody's saying, well, preacher, that's the same emotion. No, it's not. There's a big difference. You know, you call somebody, it's a wrong number, they're frustrated because you woke them up in the middle of the night. And you call them back, they're a little agitated. Call them again, they get irritated. There's degrees. Come on, church. But you know what, church, the reality is, all of us deal with frustration. And I believe there's a lot of frustrated people living in the world today. People are dealing with frustrations on the job, frustrations in the family, frustrations about their finances, frustrations about troubles that just keep coming back to their house, family problems that keep jumping up in their face. But can I tell you, in the midst of all the frustration, there is a God who says, cast all your cares upon me, for I careth for you. Could you say amen to that, church? Hallelujah. Amen. Frustration and circumstances can steal your faith. Come on, church. Somebody told me on that, say, preacher, you just got to keep believing. Can I tell you, sometimes you're in circumstances where you wonder if there's any reason to believe. Oh, preacher, don't say that. That's not godly. Let me tell you something. Listen, John the Baptist stood in a river and said, behold, the spotless Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Is that not true? But do you hear him in the 11th chapter of Matthew? When his disciples come to Jesus, and in the second verse, he said, now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? What happened in that circumstance of his prison? John's faith began to waver, and he began to wonder, did I make a mistake when I saw that man walk into the river? Is he really who I thought he was? Can I tell you, sometimes the frustration of your circumstances will cause you to forget who God really is, and you begin to wonder, is my God really able to do anything in my life? But can I tell you, it doesn't matter how bad things are, I still got a God that Paul wrote about, said, what's going to separate me from the love of God? Is it famine? Is it peril? Is it nakedness? Is it sword? He said, nay, in all these things I am more than a conqueror through him who hath loved me. And I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor principality nor any living thing is going to be able to take me out of the love of God. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Woo. We got to deal with frustration. Listen, Jesus began to tell us who he was. And you know, Job, Jesus answered this way. He said, just tell them, when they bring them to me blind, they leave seeing. When they bring them to me lame, they leave walking. When they bring them to me deaf, they leave hearing. When they bring them to me dumb, they leave talking. Hello? You know what he said? He said, proof who I am is not that John thought I was him. It's the fact that I'm doing the work. Amen. And can I tell you, it doesn't matter what's going on around me. God is still God. Hello? I read a book a few years. You ever notice how preachers get it wrong today? So we got some preachers more worried about making you feel good than they are preaching you the truth. So they'll help you out. Well, I read a book, the Bible in Light of My Redemption. In other words, I can translate the Bible, but what's going on in my life? Can I tell you, that don't happen? I got to make my life line up to what's said in the Bible, because the Bible don't have to change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever, because it's the Word of God, and I don't need it to change for me. I need to change me to meet the Bible instead of trying to interpret the Bible for what's going on in my life. Amen. You know what that means? That means if I'm sick, that doesn't mean God changed. That means I got to get back in business with God and find out what's going on. Come on, church. So wait a minute, preacher, you're saying if I'm sick, I'm not living right? No. Storms are not all made from God. But God does send some storms. Hello? Now, the storm that Paul's in, this was probably one of them that God didn't send. It's called the Iraculan wind, a hurricane. And they're in the boat. But Paul saw it coming before they left. And you know why those guys left? If you read back earlier in that scripture, it said they left because it wasn't commodious to stay. In other words, they weren't comfortable where they were, so they decided to launch out. Even though Paul said, you better not leave because there's some bad weather out there. And they get out and get in the boat. And next thing Paul says, hey, Captain, you're going to lose your boat, but we're all going to live because I've been talking to God. Hello? Come on, church. Amen. But do you know there was a same man somewhere along this same area running from God? And the Bible said God sent the storm to hit the boat Jonah was in. Amen. So sometimes storms are sent by God to get our attention. Sometimes storms happen because the devil's after you. Do you understand the devil doesn't make every problem in your life? Come on. I was at a church one time, kept having trouble with the sound system. Somebody said, well, the devil's in the sound system. I said, my God, I thought that was my brother-in-law back there. Glory. I didn't realize it was the devil. And it's easy because somebody missed something or there's a wire loose to blame the devil. You see people go broke because they spent too much money. Then they holler out, the devil did that. The devil didn't do that. You was the one in charge of the cash you blew. Not yet. If your motor blew up because you ain't changed the oil, the devil didn't blow the motor up in your car. You was a dummy, didn't change the oil. Come on, church. I'm sorry. You were the ignorant person that didn't change your oil. We got books, How to Change Your Oil for Dummies, but I can't call them dummies because they didn't do it. Hello? I got to be politically correct for once. I mean, I remember one time I had a set of tires on my car. The guy told me, said, you can't cut those tires and make them go down. Don't tell me something like that. I can't live with it. I'm riding one morning. It's like 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm in the middle of nowhere. I mean, he understands that's not a place to test them tires. But I see a piece of bottle in the road, and I'm going, I ain't missing that. Man, I can't cut these tires. I'm on the side of the road between Geneva and Sampson, Alabama. Y'all may not understand that, but that's about as far to know where you're ever going to get in Alabama. I got two tires in my hand because both of them got cut that you can't cut. Both of them's flat because they can't be flat. And I'm walking down the road with one in each arm, headed somewhere. Guy stops, picks me up, takes me out, buy two used tires, get them back on the car, get to church, walk in the back door, hands still greasy, and the lady up there going, oh, the devil tried to stop that evangelist. We didn't have church. Now, church, listen, because the devil's moving don't mean you're going to have church. If God's moving, you're going to have church. Hello? I walked up and I said, sir, can I say something before I wash my hands? He said, what's that? I said, the devil wasn't driving that car, I was. And I was the idiot run over the bottle. Because you see, some things we do to ourselves, some things just happen because it's life. Come on, church. Amen. You don't make yourself sick. Sometimes it's just life. You got to deal with it. You don't put a fiery furnace in front of you, but sometimes it's just life, and it happens that way. And no matter how frustrated you get, you got to understand that life is happening, and it's going on around you every day. But I can tell you what the Word of God says. When you have done all you know how to do, stand still, and what's going to happen? You are going to see the salvation of the grace of Almighty God in your life. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Job lost his sight of God. Listen, Job in chapter 23, verse 1 through 6. Even this day, my complaint is bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with argument. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. But in the 28th verse, it says, behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backwards, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself to the right, and I cannot see him. You know what Job is saying? He's saying, man, in the midst of my troubles, I can't find God. I don't know about y'all, but there have been times in my life when I've been saying, God, where are you? What's going on? I can't feel you. I don't know you're here. But can I tell you, when I'm that way and I'm frustrated, I got to understand by faith that my God has never left me, and my God will not forsake me. But wherever I am, he is there with the power and the authority to bring me out. Hallelujah. Secondly, dealing with our frustrations, we have got to get back to the place that we keep our focus on God. Paul's in a boat about to go under. The sailors are upset because they understand this boat's headed down. Now, church, if you're on the ocean and the sailors ain't bothered, you don't need to get that scared about what's going on. But when the guys that know what's going on get upset, then it's time for you to lose it. Hello? I told the story last Sunday night. I won't bore all of y'all. But I was on a shrimp boat, and the captain was driving, and I was scared to death. And the guy beside me says, "Don't worry. I hired him because he's a good driver. Everything's fine." I grabbed him. I said, "His lips is white. He's sweating. He's scared as I am. I don't care what you say. I ain't happy about this situation." Glory. Paul's there. The boat's coming apart. They're tying ropes around it to keep it from coming apart. They're throwing stuff overboard to lighten it so it won't go under. And all of a sudden, here's Paul disappears. Why? Because he understands if I focus on the storm, all I'm going to see is the storm. But he goes down below, and he gets alone with God, and he turns his gaze toward him, and he begins to focus on God. And when he does, he comes back and said, "Fellas, be of good cheer. There stood by me tonight an angel of the God in whom I believe." And he said, "Everything's going to be all right." Can I tell you, when it looks like everything's going down, if I focus on God, everything is going to be all right. Could you say amen? Someone said, "Preacher, you're crazy." Maybe. Somebody asked me this week, said, "How you going to deal with everything going on?" I said, "Let me tell you something. I got to go through that fire. But I'm like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm going through it, and I'm coming out of it. Whether I come out of it here or I come out of it going over yonder, I ain't smelling like smoke either way it goes, because the God I serve is going to keep me in that fire one way or the other." Come on, church. You say, "Wait a minute, preacher. I'm not worried." Why? Because I know in whom I believe, and I know who my trust is in, and I know that my God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all I'd ever ask or think. Could you say amen? See, church, I remember when I got saved, it was all about God. Then I got started preaching, and it got all about the things of God. When I first got saved, I didn't know about the 12 tribes of Israel. I didn't know there was that many of them. Then I didn't realize the Church of God was a 13th tribe. Yeah, we're Edomites. We're going to prove it in a few minutes. I mean, we don't have a meeting without food. I go to a state council meeting. They got a table in the room for us to eat while we're in there working. Of course, sometimes it's because he keeps us so long. Other times it's because he just wants us to have food, because we're Church of God. But I realized my focus got off of God and got onto the things of God, and I began to dwell on the things of God more than I focused on God. And then all of a sudden I started realizing I can't focus on things, whether they be of God or not of God. All I need is him. I don't need all this other stuff. I need him. Could you say amen to that, church? Come on. Some of y'all leave and say, "Preacher, you're crazy." No, I'm not. That's the way it is. See, the devil wants us to walk away from God. Amen. He does everything he can to get us to do so. But if he can't get us to walk away from God, he just wants us to walk around God. Because as long as we're walking around God, we are never going to walk with God. But if we ever start walking with God, we got a God that's going to take us somewhere we ain't never been and doing us stuff we never thought of before. Come on, church. Somebody ought to write that down. That's pretty profound. Amen. Amen. You say, "What are you getting at?" I've got to get to that place where I realize the devil wants two things out of me: either to walk away from God or walk around God. And as long as I'm circling God and not getting with God, I am never going anywhere. But when I put my hand in his hand and I say, "Wherever I gotta go, I'm going with you. It doesn't matter if it's the valley or the mountain, if it's across the stream or in the desert, I'm going with you, because you, God, are who I am focused on." Could you say amen? See, we've got to quit glancing at God on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. And we've got to start glaring at God, so that we lock our focus on him. Because as long as I'm focused on him, I'm not focused on everything else. Hello? You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" Have you ever read Isaiah? First six chapters, he's focused on everything else. And because of that, he cops an attitude. Y'all seen Christians like this. They condemn everything everybody's doing. Oh, yeah, because, you know, I'm it. I'm focused. I'm focused on me. Y'all may not believe this, but I remember one time there was a lady jumped up and said, "Live like me and you'll be holy." Hello? I was at the church when it happened. I ain't making it up. Can I tell you, ain't nobody holy enough for me to live like them? Because no matter how good we are down here, our righteousness is as filthy rags compared to the righteousness of God. And I ain't trying to live like nobody down here. Come on, church. But you know, some folks, they get their eyes off God, and the next thing you know, they focus on people, and then they woe in everybody. Read the first five chapters of Isaiah. He woed everybody that moved. Woe be unto you, woe be unto you, woe be unto you, woe be unto you. Why? Because he was focused on everything but God. But make the sixth chapter, and all of a sudden he focuses on God. In the year King Uzziah died, amen, I was in the, saw the Lord high and lifted up. All of a sudden he got his focus back on God. And notice what happened. He said, I began to realize when I got my focus back on God that God was there, and his glory filled the temple. Hallelujah. In other words, suddenly I got my focus on God and realized I ain't alone in this thing, because God's glory is around me, and I've got God's glory everywhere I go. Come on, church. Amen. Hello. All of a sudden, Isaiah gets focused on God, and the next thing you know, he realizes, man, God is everywhere. And the next thing out of his mouth is, woe is me. Hallelujah. Why? Because I got my focus back on God and begin to realize his glory is here. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. What if I'm somewhere where the glory ain't? Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. For the earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the water covers the sea. Well, there's still places I might get to, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent. I hear Stephen. They're stoning Stephen to death in the book of Acts. And listen to what he tells them. He said, but being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up steadfast into heaven and saw the glory of God. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? When the glory of God is everywhere, no matter where I am, it's there. And if I can focus on God, I realize in the darkest of midnight, there is the glory of God that's going to carry me everywhere I go. No matter what the doctor says, no matter what the report is, I've still got the glory of God to carry me when I'm focused on him. I got to hurry. Some of y'all done focused on food. I hate they opened that door and that chicken come in here. Fried chicken's worse than popcorn. When they pop popcorn to Alabama games, they used to tell us, don't pop it to just before we open the gate, so people coming in will smell the fresh popcorn and buy it. Now they're frying chicken back there, and I can smell it. And I'm already back there in spirit. Some of y'all are, just wouldn't admit it. Point three, we must get back to a fascination in Jesus. How many of you remember when you first got saved? Oh, you're just fascinated with God. Oh, it was all about God. I mean, you were so bad, couldn't nobody talk to you, because everything you talked about, you had to get off on God. Come on, church. Maybe it didn't happen to you, but maybe you didn't come as far away from I did. Man, I got saved, and I'd aggravate people. They won't talk. I said, oh, man, do you know what happened? I mean, everybody had to find out about me getting saved. Come on. I mean, I was so excited about God. My passion in the world became about God. But now notice what the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 2. He writes to the church, said, I know thy works, thy labors, thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, how thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and is born and has patience, and my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Proper connotation, you don't love me like you used to, because the passion has died for God. Notice what he says will solve the problem. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. In other words, get your mind back on where you used to be and what turns you on. Come on, church. Do any of y'all that's married remember when you first got married? First 6 months, you could eat them up. Since then, you wished you had. Because at that first 6 months, you start noticing everything they do, like squeezing bottles while they're drinking out of them. I've never figured out why you got to squeeze a water bottle and suck on it where it just, why are you drinking out of it? You start noticing how they, instead of getting a toothpick, some of y'all are musing over stuff you already thought about your partner. Same thing goes for God. You fall in love with God and everything's wonderful. And then you get a little cool because your passion starts to wane. And it gets to the point you got to decide, do I go to church this morning, or I go next week, or do I read the Bible today, or do I skip a few days, and then next thing you know, you skip the whole year because God's not important anymore, because you've lost the passion and it's not important. Hello? Do you realize there are more people divorced in America today because they claim they fell out of love when they never was in love to begin with, if they fell out because you can't quit loving somebody? Well, I see somebody right now going to see me after church. Do it. When you can prove it, I'll say okay. But the truth of the matter is, you had a problem in that relationship you just didn't see before you ever got started. Oh, I know it's coming back up here, but I'm telling the truth. Same thing happens with God. That's why we have so many people give up on God, throw in the towel and quit. It's because they get to that point, they just don't think he's what he used to be and he can do what he used to do. But oh, if we could get back that fascination. Notice what he said, remember where you were. Remember what got you there. Amen. I read David in the Psalms in the 145th division. You know what he said in the fifth verse? I remember the days of old. I got to meditating on when God used to bless me. I mean, here's David, a man that's thrown it all away for some stupid woman that lived next door because she was so pretty. He got to looking at her and lost God, and now he's lost his fascination with God, and all he can think about is being married to her and getting rid of her husband and making it all legal. And so he commits murder and does all this, but then suddenly he gets to praying and he says, I remember the days of old and what happened. He got to crying to God. Next thing you know, he's saying, God, cast me not away, but restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Can I tell you, if we would just get a fascination for God again and say, God, I don't want anything but you. You're what I'm here about. You're what I'm looking for. You're what I got to have in my life. When we do that, I got a God that will come down and touch our life and will pick us up above every problem we've ever had in our life and give us joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. The writer of Hebrews said, but call to remembrance the former days in which you were first illuminated. He said, oh, when things ain't going right, just remember when the light got in your life and then get back in that light. Hallelujah. 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 What it amounts to, honey, is when we make up our minds that we want him and not just what he's got. Come on, church. Oh, I want the peace that pass all understanding. Then you need him. Oh, but you don't understand. I need a healing. No, you need him. Oh, but I need a blessing. No, you need him. And when we get focused on him, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will then be added unto you. When we get focused on him, we lose sight of everything else. Stand with me all over the house. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. Master, you said it's not by might, not by power, but by thy spirit, saith God. Father, I commend this congregation into your hand, every heart, every life, every soul. Lord, have your way. Father, in Jesus' name, touch us with your glory.